So serious. I mean,
imagine from the slightly rainy island of Sri Lanka. How goes it? How do you do? How is life in your neck of the woods? Your place on the wall, your assignment, as it were, that God would have for you in this life. You know, I think it's... Do you ever wonder why, no matter what, whether things are going well in the world or whether things are terrible, that you always feel like you got this burr under your saddle, that things just aren't quite right, that something needs to change, that something's not settled? You know, we're not made for this world. We're not made to stay in this life. We're only meant to be here for a season and to pass through. And, you know, so the question is, what is this season about? What is this whole thing for? What is this, the reason for this entire experience? And the heartache and the heartbreak and the struggle and the twisting and the turning and all the shenanigans, and you gotta put up with wicked, evil, lying, conniving people that hate you, though you've done nothing wrong to them, though you've only tried to bless them and help them, and yet they shoot at you. What is that all about? What was that all about? What was that for? You know, yeah, what was that all about? Sometimes I wonder. You guy, remember a joke? There's a guy, hears a knock on his door, and he goes over, opens the door, looks around, there's nobody there. And so then he looks down and he sees there's a snail. So he picks up the snail, tosses it, goes over the side of the road on the other side, closes the door. About 2 years later, he hears another knock on the door. He goes, walks over, opens the door, looks around, nobody's there, looks down, sees the snail again. The snail looks up and says, "What was that all about?" Okay, I know. Kind of dumb, but anyways. No, what was that all about? What was this whole thing all about? This life, the struggles, the tests, the turmoil, the things that we face. You know, if you're looking for something to be settled in the natural, if you're looking for something to be, to go right for you as such, and if you're thinking that things just sort of going right is going to settle that internal issue, it's not. You know, I think a lot of people sort of wait their whole lives, as it were, to see if the right thing, the right combination, the right set of elements will just sort of come together. You know, always waiting for, you know, that right break, the right job, the right partner, the right thing to do, the right work, the right ministry, the right this, the right that, just something, you know, on the external to sort of happen that will finally, now they're liberated, finally now, you know, they've achieved that pursuit. But you know what? You get all of that stuff, whatever it may be, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be content. You might get a moment of elation because you got that job, or you got that promotion, or you got whatever it was that you were striving for, but that's not it. And give it a couple months to settle in, you realize that that's not it. And then you start looking for the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And it never ever stops. Because that thing that people are looking for, it's not outside. It's not outside of yourself. The kingdom is within. Luke 17, 20, 21. The kingdom of God is within. And that is where the change takes place that you and I need. That is where our liberation takes place that you and I crave and desire. Is God must liberate you. That's a work of the Spirit of God. Now, the part that we play is we give ourselves over to that of our free will. We surrender ourselves of our free will to the leading, the guiding, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, here's one. When we struggle with disobedience, with the flesh, with knowing that which we should do, that which we ought to do, and still willfully going in another direction, in another way. When we know better, you know what a paradoxical people we are. I mean, when we know that if we go left, it's going to hurt us, and we should take that turn and go right. And we know it, you know it, you know you got to go right, you got to go right, you know it. And then when the time comes to take the turn, you go left. What is that? Why do we self-inflict? You know, because there is an easier way. You know, there is an easier way. God has kept it simple in Christ Jesus. Trust, obey, look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Do what He says. Don't let these things pull you. See, all right, we do have an enemy of our souls. Yes, very much so. The devil, Lucifer, his minions, all of his very disciplined, I might add, workers in the realm of spirit. In the realm of spirit, in the realm of the kingdom of darkness, they are incredibly disciplined and committed to your destruction and to the destruction of mankind. To rob, steal, kill, and destroy, to harvest the souls to a destructive end. They're committed to that. My gosh. I mean, if you had people working for you that were as committed as they are, and yeah, they have completely given themselves over to that satanic mission. Now, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the demonic, against the enemy of our soul. And in the process of battling against the enemy of our soul, you and I, we have a call. And God has put that call before us. You know, what an amazing stage that we exist on right now. I mean, think about it. Light and dark exist in this plane simultaneously. Only here. It can't happen like this in the next life. Because in the next life, the wheat and the tares are separated. The sheep and the goats are separated. They go to the place that they've been destined for. This, for you, my brothers and my sisters, fellow sheep, this, for you, is the only interaction time you will ever get with the goats. This is it. This short window of life, this is your time to interact and to feel and to experience the oppression and the horror and the terror of what it is to be separated from God by being around this darkness, this oppression, all of this, a body of flesh that is genetically wired to genetically that no flesh can inherit the kingdom of God. So even the very flesh that you're in, you're leaving it behind because it can't go with you because it's corrupted from the fall. But yeah, you know what? This is your life. This is your experience. This is your time to experience what it is to be around this darkness, this oppression, those that would choose to go another way. And, you know, for all eternity, you are going to remember this in the respect that, you know, yes, God does wipe away every tear. There won't be a remembrance of the pain and the hurt. That won't sink in. But at the same time, you will have experienced what it is to be saved. You will have experienced salvation in a very real way. To know what it is to be redeemed and restored and brought back from what would be eternal destruction. And if left unto your own devices and into your own ability, apart from Him, you know you would have been destroyed. Look, I don't know about how many people will admit this, especially from the pulpit, because anyways, I won't get into that, but I know for myself, if it was not for the grace of God, if it was not for Him intervening in my situation and putting my life on a different track and calling me out by His name, that I would have pretty fast destroyed myself. I would have been good at it too. I would have destroyed myself right quick. And a lot of other people in the process as well. You know, I mean, even right now, you know, the life that, you know, I live in Christ, I just, you know what? Hey, I'm taking it with Him one day at a time, one moment at a time, one experience at a time. And I'm not trying to process it too much more than that. You know, I think I like the way that God has for me to share with you guys, because, hey, if you don't like it, switch it off, cut the stream, don't download it, throw it away. You know, there's no building being rented, or we don't have a mortgage on something that if you guys don't chip in, this thing's going to shut down. In which case, I have to tell you what it is that I feel would get you to open up your pocketbooks. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like places you go on Sunday? Oh, well, a lot of places are. There's some good ones out there. I know there are. And I don't want to take away from those ones. But you know the man-made system and the conformity requested of you. And hey, look, here, all it is whenever God gives stirs at all, you know, what we strive to do is just, all right, we flip on the mic, grab it when and when we can, and put it out there and let it be what it is. And if it helps you, if it blesses you, hey, praise God. Because the only things we got is whatever He gives us. In the natural, in the physical, in the spiritual, mentally, all of it. We are completely and totally dependent on Him. We're way past halfway on the tightrope. Way past. We got nowhere else to go. And, you know, yes, we want His plan and purpose. Yes, we want His will to be done. But you know, there is this bizarre tipping point, which is we also know that His will, in order for it to be done, it does require that if it's and can, as it pertains to your and my life, that there is an element of our will involved in yielding to His. We have to do that. If we don't, hey, you know, God will still accomplish His purposes in spite of us, in that you're not stopping God's will and plan from coming to the earth, not at all. But at the same time, you can either be a partaker in His kingdom, or you can be a piece of furniture on the stage that He works around. It's your choice. You know, there's a lot of instruments of destruction that have been set up on the stage for part of this act in this play. And God allows for them to be there. He even allows for them to have a measure of success in the eyes of the world to solidify their delusion that they're okay. To solidify in their own minds the perception that, yeah, we must be all right, because look, we're not sick, and we have money, and we have power, and we have position. We must be all right. But really, that's part of that, because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion that, believing the lie, they may be damned. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They may be damned. Who does that? Well, God does that. Look, He's got to have some bad guys. There's got to be some bad guys on the stage in order for this thing to happen. There's got to be a few pharaohs out there running around to be able to persecute the children of Egypt, or children of Israel, to reveal the difference between Egypt and Israel, and God's judgment on the wicked, and God's salvation and blessing of the righteous. There's got to be a Nebuchadnezzar out there. There's got to be these guys. They're necessary. They serve a purpose in the broader scheme of things. They serve a purpose in the broader balance. Look, hey, after the whole thing's done, yes, there is nobody gets away with anything. Don't worry about that. Nobody gets away with anything. You think anybody is going to get away with anything when it comes to the God that we serve? All-powerful, creator of heaven and earth, spoke and things came into being. You think anybody is getting away with anything? Some guy in a fancy suit with his own plane, you think he's going to get away? You know, he can't even get away from death. What makes you think that he's going to get away from the hands of a living God? Look. Everything, every score is settled when this thing is done. But right now, you and I have a role to play. God's given you an assignment. You need to quit complaining about your place and go within. Because see, if you live in these complaints, you're still focused on the external. You're still focused on that which is outside. You're still focused on that which... Look, if your life is contingent on the externals, then when things go well for you, you're going to be happy. When things go bad for you, you're going to be upset. And then your life is contingent just on what's outside. That's pretty much the world. You know, the salvation... That people, when they met Jesus, when they saw Jesus, when He was walking around, and the thing that just had revealed to them was, oh my gosh, I am undone, left unto myself. You know, that's when people, the Pharisees, the one thing they had such a hard time with Jesus was that He revealed who they were. He revealed that their religious system was bankrupt. He revealed that their rituals and their practices that were man-made had no benefit to the soul whatsoever. And that their worship of God was a farce. That it was just their own system they'd set up for their own benefit. And they were all feeding from that trough? And who is this Jesus to come upset the system? Who is this Jesus to come undo their good thing? Taking a long time to set that up. Man does not like you messing with the cash cow. Especially when they've got a good thing going. Oh no, they will off you right quick. They will get rid of you really fast because, hey, there's money involved. There's power involved. There's position involved. There's pleasure involved. There's everything and anything that will stimulate those five senses you've got. And hey, it's not about God's will. It's about serving yourself and the world. That is the system that Jesus Christ ripped apart. That is, you know, when you've also seen the emptiness of the world system, the emptiness of a life given over, at the epitome of what that system offers, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. If you have everything the world has to offer, but you don't have the very thing which is the salvation of your soul, a relationship with Christ Jesus, to be one with the Father through Christ, if you don't have that, you are eternally broke. And that's why it's so sad. It's so sad when people look for something that they're never going to find because they're looking in the wrong place. It's so sad. You won't find it apart from Christ. You will not find the need of your heart, the need of your soul anywhere else. But when you bow your knee before the King of Kings, when you give it up to Him, and you put yourself before Him and you say, Father, you know what? Lord, it's You. It's You. I want You. I've got nowhere else to go but You. I am stuck. I am stranded without You. I have no more moves. I've got no exit strategy. I'm right here. And Lord, I don't even know how to even begin to think about getting out of the situation I'm in. But I know that You love me. I know that You're faithful. I know that You will lead and guide me into all truth. And I trust You. And whatever it is that You have to do, so let it be. But please, Lord God, don't let me miss You. Don't let me miss You. Don't let me miss what it is that You're doing and who it is that You would have me to be. Let me come into the fullness of Your call and Your expectation for my life. Let me come into the fullness, Lord God, of what Your plan has been for me. You know, if you ask Him with honesty, if you ask Him just in complete and total dependence, He's going to do it. See, here's the thing about salvation. He does it. We have a very small part to play, which is like the prodigal son. When you come to yourself and you realize, look, eating in this pig trough, there's a better option. and I don't want to spend my life knowing that there is a Father out there that loves me, that has something better. And I will put myself at His mercy and submit myself to His Lordship and let it be whatever it is that He would have it to be. You know, you just let go. You stop trying to be Lord of your own life, master of your own universe, king of your own domain, and you realize there's a King of Kings that you would benefit and be blessed and be able to rest at peace knowing that He's in control. You know that. And you want that. Nothing less. Oh. You know, his yoke really is truly easy, and his burden is light. But the only way is it comes on his terms, not yours. It's his terms, not yours. And it will cost you everything. But he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to be with you. But you got to trust him. And the place where a lot of people fall short is they don't trust him. They trust him to a point, but they stop. And the place where you stop is the place where you stay. That sounds profound, doesn't it? The place where you stop is the place where you stay. Go all the way through. It's time to follow through. So hey, you gotta trust him, love him. Oh, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And I know, we love him. Yeah, but we struggle with that. But this is where the power of the Spirit comes in. Because the power of the Spirit of God gives you the power to put to death everything in your life that is not like him. It gives you the power to set things right and to live the life that God intended you to have. See, we don't have that power in ourselves, but he gives us that power. And it is through his Spirit that you and I are made right. It is through his blood that you and I are made right with the Father. It is through his Spirit that we have the power to be able to be what God intended us to be. You know, I'm so glad that this thing is not based on my efforts, but is based on him. And me yielding to him and allowing him to work in and through me. I'm so glad that's the way he set it up. And you know, there's a blessing that comes when you just let go and just allow him to live through you, his life through yours. That is the place that you've been called to live, the state of existence that you're called to know and to be in. You can have that right now. You can live in that right now. And that is part of my prayer for all of us this day, is that we would know that state and remain in that state each and every moment. For today is the day of salvation. So with that, God bless you guys. Hey, I love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. All right. Hey, we love you. Talk to you guys soon. All right. Take care. Bye.